Excuse me. Our scripture passage this morning is 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Beloved, now I write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophet and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continued as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. This morning we'd like to welcome Brother Aaron Wilson, director of Camp Kobiak, is here to share with us this morning. Brother Aaron, if you'd come.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Fields.
You're welcome. If the fans get to be too much, you can turn them down.
Fair enough. All right. Do you guys have to stand the whole time when I preach, or are you allowed to sit down? Should we have a church congregational vote? How many think we should sit down? Just go ahead and do it. How many think you should stand? Remain standing. You lose. Good morning, everybody. Good to be here, down here, and a little bit more civilization. My name is Brother Aaron. I don't want to be too long, but just a brief introduction. My name is Brother Aaron Wilson. I'm currently the director of Camp Kobiak in Houghton Lake, Michigan. Of course, we're in the middle of our summer camp season. We have week 6 tomorrow, and as at least one person in the back knows, it's actually not week 6, it's week 1.6, because every week is week number 1 at Camp Kobiak. Because it's not week 1 to us, but it's week 1 to the guests, so that's kind of one of our sayings. And so we're in the middle of summer camp season, super excited what the Lord has been doing up there at the camp ministry. We've had close to 350, 400 campers every single week for the last little bit, so we have had a fun time all summer. But it's wonderful to see God use his word every morning, every night, during chapel times. It's a wonderful privilege to serve the Lord up there in the ministry of Camp Kobiak. My first introduction to this church down here was through two wonderful, godly, sweet, awesome, smart, intelligent. Emily, what else did you want me to say? Two young ladies back in the day who were known by Emily Field and Becca Beeman. I've kind of realized that they don't go by those names anymore. And so life kind of goes on and changes in different chapters and seasons. And so that was our first introduction. My wife and I came up to Camp Kobiak with the Bible Institute in 2013, 2014. And so an introduction to this church. Of course, this church had some relationship with Camp Kobiak before that. And that's been our wonderful privilege the last 13 years to serve the Lord up there in the ministry of Camp Kobiak. It's been 13 years. I can't believe it. Jack and Will were 5 and 7. They were like this tall and this tall. And now they're, 17 and 19, and they're 6'5 and 6'5. So I guess that's how it goes. Do all the parents in the room know what I'm talking about? Time seems to go a little bit fast. And so it is a wonderful privilege to be here to minister the word to you. And we are praying for your church through this transition. Our church up in Houghton Lake Baptist Church was without a pastor for a year. So I'm very familiar with the challenges and also the graces and strengths that could happen as God just really binds a church family together. As you pray for the Lord, who is the Lord of the church, to provide a shepherd for you. And so I know that's a big prayer request for your church as well. We trust God's just grace and timing in that season that you're at. So once again, our church is without a pastor for a year, and God provided for us in just the last couple months. So we'll be in prayer for you if you pray for us along the way. Week 1.6 is upon us, starting tomorrow, Lord willing. All right. So if any of you feel like you want to be a junior counselor, you know, get the cobwebs off, you feel like you just need some excitement this week, see me, and we'll be able to help you out, junior counselor this week. So it's good to be here. Of course, we're in 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3. Most of the text has already been written. Draw your attention to verse 1, let you know what we're doing here this morning, and then we'll continue on with the word of God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Well, that's the sermon. Some of you are like, wasn't quite sure about this guy, but now I really like him, because if that's all that he's got and the sermon is done, we're having this guy in next week and the week after. Well, I got good news and bad news. Bad news is I'm not done preaching. The good news is I preach the Bible. I'm just going to preach what Peter preached. And the way he was saying it was, I'm just going to let you know things, truths, to stir you up. The title of this message is Wake Up. Peter uses this word, stir up. It carries the idea of being spiritually awake. Now, we don't have very long to go down the rabbit trail of this particular word. It's very fascinating to me. This word is used about 6 times in the New Testament. And so Peter's given this idea. It's like, I'm writing these things unto you to stir you up, to awaken you. Well, this word is actually used in the Gospels several times. You know the story of when Jesus was asleep on the boat. And the raging storm was coming. The disciples were panicking, and they thought they were perishing. And they go to Jesus, and they do what? Stir him up. Translated, awake. They wake him up, okay? And then it's given that time a couple times in the Gospels. And then in one of the particular stories of the Gospels, the word is actually used twice. It's very fascinating. They wake up Jesus, and then he wakes himself up to calm the storm. Okay? Very fascinating use of the word. Peter is not using it in the physical, literal sense. Peter views himself as more of a shepherd teaching shepherds. And so the way Peter uses this word is the way we're using it this morning, that he has to nudge awake the sleepy sheep. Can I get an amen? Now, some of you might need that this morning physically. Not what I'm talking about. Like, you've already fallen asleep. Nudge your husband, will you please? Don't just tease him. But here's what Peter wants to do. He wants to preach right to the heart and teach right to the heart of Christians, to awake them or stir them up towards spiritual things. And if you're like me, there are just some times in my life that I need to be woken up. Life kind of happens, doesn't it? Yes? Did you warn them about me, Emily? How much did you warn them about me? You didn't warn them about me, so I, okay, zero, okay. It just drives me insane to go through the motions of church, just in case you're wondering, okay? And so I know you don't know me, but I'm going to challenge you to stay a little bit interactive, because this isn't just about another sermon. This is listening to God and his word about waking us up spiritually. And you and I both know that there are times we need to wake up. There are times we get a little lethargic spiritually. There are times we get a little tired. And there are times we need somebody, namely the Word and the Holy Spirit, to really speak to our hearts in such a way to arouse us up, to have the alertness that we need to deal with this crazy culture that we live in, to be a witness for Jesus like we should. And that's why the people of God gather, is exactly what Peter is saying, to stir us. So I don't really know you, and to be honest, you probably don't really know me, but I believe the Word of God is quickening and powerful and speaks to hearts in such a way that maybe we just need to hear this morning, what Peter has to say. So wake up. That's what he says. Isn't that what he says? Isn't that what he says? I'm gonna give you this truth to stir you up. Now, let me just kind of frame the outline here. whatever Peter's about to say after this becomes the basis by which he's going to try to wake us up spiritually. There's probably 10 ways you could outline this. I'm going to try to outline it in a way that's going to be helpful. Number one, he says, I want you to understand God's timetable of what he's doing. Somehow the people of God are given by his word a framework that reminds us about who God is and what he's doing as far as his time frame of biblical history. Peter talks about that in the text. So one way to get stirred up is just to be reminded there is a God who's doing things. And he has a timetable. And it's usually not our timetable. And it's certainly not the world's timetable. But there's a God who's moving. Number two, Peter reminds us what I'm going to call God's heartbeat. God's passion and focus for the gospel. His heartbeat. When we lose sight of this, we get a little spiritual lethargic. And when we bring this back into focus, we usually get more dialed in. And number three, God's expectation for his people. So along this journey, God does have expectations for the ones whom he saved and brought to himself. So let's look at these three things: God's timetable, God's heartbeat, and God's expectation as we walk our way through this text of Scripture. So far, so good? I'll repeat that whole introduction. If some of you don't say amen. What's the sermon today? We need to what? Wake up. There we go. And what's the three things? First one is what? Yeah, timetable. Number two, his heartbeat. We'll get that from the text. And number three, all right, I feel like we can move on. You've passed. Great job. All right, verse two, here we go. The Bible says this, that you be mindful of the words. Pause. He already is alluding to this in a little bit of introduction sense. He's waking us up by getting our minds engaged in a particular way. That's what he says also in verse 1. I stir you your pure minds up by way of what? Remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words. Well, what's he saying? Christianity has always been a very substantive religion. Come on now. Yes? It's very substantive. It's very rational. Okay, let's just cut right to it. I'm 17 years old, public high school kid, unsaved. I hear about a man who died for my sins so I didn't have to go to hell. I could go to heaven. I said, I'm in. I mean, how many beings do you know that rose from the dead, Nick? One, I'm following him, case closed. It's not that hard, right? Christianity has always been a substantive religion. The more and more I study Scripture, I'm in it. The way we get stirred up is to fill our minds, to engage to the spiritual realities that are before us. That's what Peter is saying. The way you wake up is you just stop and kind of rationally, biblically think through things. And he stirs us up by getting our minds engaged in a particular way. And here's what he says. Verse 2, that you be mindful of the words. Look at the end of verse 1. Pure minds by way of what? Remembrance. I met this gentleman right here. He said 1952 is when he came to the church. Does anybody else remember 1952? Because I don't. That seems like a long time ago. Some of you have been at it for a long time. I don't know how long you've been saved or in this church, whatever the case may be. Peter is really just saying, I want to bring some certain things into remembrance. And he's going to talk about the words, and here's what he gets into. Sometimes, like, we don't need to hear anything new. Come on now. We don't need to hear anything new. Matter of fact, you should probably get a little nervous if a preacher comes in and says, I got some really new things that no one else has heard about. To be honest, at some point, I'm not saying he might have an illustration or he might give you something that maybe you never saw. You understand what I'm saying. But somebody who comes in and says, I got this really new good idea about biblical Christianity, it should make you really nervous. Because Peter says, no, I need to stir you up by just getting to remember the things that you've already been taught. And here's what he says, verse 2. So far, so good? He says this, that you be mindful of the words which are spoken before by the holy prophets. Most likely, Peter is alluding to something we know as the Old Testament. Okay? The prophets often was a annotation of what God had spoken to in the Old Testament, which would include Moses and Jeremiah and Isaiah. So he's stirring us up, waking us up, pointing us back to the Bible. See it? And here's what he says next. And of the commandment, of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, or of the Lord and Savior. So what did Peter just do? He said, the Old Testament, I'm going to raise up as authority. And then he said, the apostles. Well, who's that? Matthew and James and, you know, Mark and Paul and Peter himself. And he's raising up now what we now know as the New Testament. So the Old Testament and the New Testament became the authority as he's begun to introduce those things. But don't miss it, because I think maybe you missed it. I just want to say it. The way he was going to stir us up was pointing us back to the Scripture. I don't want to preach too long on this point, but I think probably most should get it. There's a world of Christianity out there that tries to stir us up with just about everything else. Is anybody out there listening? I'm not saying that there might be a creative way with technology or whatever the case may be. And there might be a this or a that or a program or something. Brother Fields, I'm not saying we can't be creative and use today's gifts and ministering to a generation that I minister with kids all the time. You got to be a little creative. But I'm telling you what, the moment you get away from preaching and teaching the word of the living God, you've abandoned biblical Christianity. And Peter says that. Be stirred up by the word, because there's nothing greater. There's nothing more powerful than this old book we call the Bible. And you got a copy of it, so do I, to read it. So let's talk about God's timetable. Verse 3, knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his what? His coming. Peter was writing, I'm going to say, for sake of getting in the weeds, about 60 AD. So far, so good? Okay, how many decades have passed about since Jesus resurrected and ascended from when Peter was an apostle with Jesus? About 30. Okay, how many of you old people out there, like me, can understand 30 years? Like, you can kind of relate to that. That makes sense. 3 decades. How many kids out there, like Abel that I met in the front row? Seems like a cool kid. Hi, Abel. How are you? Good to see you. Like, when you're young, you don't think like old people. Then you get old like me, and then you start thinking like old people. 30 years is a long time. So when Jesus left, he said to his disciples, I am leaving, but don't worry, I am coming what? Coming back. Year goes by. 2 years go by. 3 years go by. 4 years go by. A decade goes by. 2 decades go by. 3 decades go by. And pretty soon there's going to be some people saying, whoa, 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 wait a minute. You said that God became human, did all these miracles, fulfilled all these scriptures, and that he is coming back to usher in his kingdom and the resurrection and all of it. And I just want to know, where is the promise of his coming? They were doubting the very word and timetable of Almighty God 30 years after the resurrection of Jesus, and that's why they're called scoffers. Hey, listen, 2026, guess what there still are out there today? Yeah, you crazy Bible-believing Christians who believe that a God is doing all these things and makes promises to you and he has a timetable, as the whole attention of the world is on everything else but what God is doing in his timetable. So Peter's like, let me remind you about a few things about God's timetable. Now we're trying to get stirred up here in the text of what Peter is doing. And so he highlights a couple things here going forward. Verse 5, for they willingly are ignorant of that by the, what? By the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Peter's got some interesting language here, but what biblical obvious event did Peter just bring up? Creation. So, once again, don't lose sight of the context. Scoffers were questioning the promises of God. And Peter says, wait a minute. By that same word that God made the promises was that same word which he spoke all of creation into existence from absolutely nothing, but his authoritative, creative, transcendent, blows our minds. Word of God spoke you and me and creation into existence. Peter says, don't forget, Christian, about the God of creation. 6 literal days made it all. And we teach our kids it as if it's just a Sunday school lesson. Peter says our faith needs to be rock solid in the God who spoke the earth and the heavens into existence. Nothing has ever gone from simple to complex. Nothing has ever gone from inanimate to animate, no life to life. And certainly nothing has ever gone from nothing to something. Our God, from the micro, the macro, in between humans to DNA, to earth, to stars, to creative, to it all, spoken in existence. Peter says, don't lose sight of these scoffers. You remember God's timetable. He created it all, verse 5. Verse 6. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. I'm probably talking to a good crowd here, but how many of you believe that Noah's Ark was an actual event? Has anybody visited the Ark down there in old Kentucky yet? Just in case you're wondering, I don't know how you feel about this, but when Ken Ham was raising money, I sent in $100. Mr. Wilson, you sent in $100 to Ken Ham? Yes, I did. Some of you say that's too ecumenical. It doesn't matter. I don't care what you think. I'm telling you, I just sent in $100 to Ken Ham. Why did you send $100 to Ken Ham? So I can tell everybody that I helped build the Ark, ladies and gentlemen. You had your chance. You missed it. I mean, come on. Like, we know it's a historical event, right? And Peter reminds us about the historical event. Now, he's dealt with creation, Genesis 1. Now he's in Genesis 6, dealing with Noah's flood. In the time when God's judgment for real was coming, and he for real told a guy to build this and gave him for real plans, and he for real built it, and the rains for real came, and the flood for real came. And they say it could have been up to, I've heard numbers as high as almost 1 billion people on planet Earth perished by historical flood. Because Peter's laying the groundwork of being stirred up about God's timetable. He's the God of creation. He's the God of the flood. You got to flip back a chapter to get some of it. 2 Peter chapter 2, if you could flip back there, please, verse 4. I'm terribly sorry for making you turn your Bible in church. Second Peter 2, verse 4 says this, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Now, okay. We don't have a lot in Scripture about the angels. We have some, but we do know they were created beings, that they rebelled against their creator, and God judged some of them. Satan being one of them appears to lead the rebellion. Okay. We don't know a lot about it, but we know it happened. Yes? Okay, so we have the God of creation, the God of the flood, and now the God of the damned angels. What does that tell me? It tells me this. Where is the promise of God's coming? God, is there a God still doing something? I mean, 30 years later, they're scoffing at Peter. And Peter's like, let me give you a little bigger perspective. And you know what this tells me? This is not God's first rodeo. We're from the Midwest. You guys know what that means? Who understands what that means? Okay, good. Because the God who spoke the world, and the God of the angels, and the God of Noah, he goes on in verse 6, talks about Sodom and Gomorrah, chapter 2. And God in verse 5, once again, he brings up Noah, Peter does. Back to chapter 3, if you would. We're talking about God's timetable, his timetable. Look at verse 8. Brother Fields told me that you usually stop church about 3 in the afternoon, so I think I can fit this all in. I'm just teasing. Verse 8. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a what? There's some Bible interpreters who kind of make that like a literal sense. I don't interpret it that way. I think Peter's making a point. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, but don't miss what it says, because sometimes we read the Bible, we don't really read the Bible. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. So like one day, 1,000 years, that's like time is going very slow. But then he goes on and says, but in 1,000 years is as one day. All right, so I got to talk to my old people again. Sorry for offending you. I'll let you classify which category you're in. But everybody in this room knows what I'm talking about. I am 44. I know I look like I'm 54. I'm a bald, fat camp director, but you'll get over it. I'm 44. The older I get, the faster it goes. Can I get an amen? Amen. My kids were kids, and now they're not kids. And I heard stuff when I was your age, Nick, and I made fun of old people like me who spoke like this and said, no, I can't wait for the weekend. My week is so slow. I can't wait for the weekend. And then your perspective is like so slow. And then you get older and you're like, slow down, no. And next thing you know, you just, it just goes by so fast. Because what we're trying to communicate is an issue of perspective. Yes? Does time go any slower, any faster? In theory, I know time's observable. You'll have a quantum physics discussion later with Andrew. When you're on vacay for 2 weeks, brother, can you look some of that stuff up and let us know? 2 weeks of quantum physics here. It's perspective, because we know time is relative. Listen, to God, it's not fast, it's not slow, it's both. Why did Peter have to drop that in here for us? Do you guys love the Bible? Do you believe the Bible? Yes or no? Because he's getting us to understand that to God, there's no fast, there's no slow, there's just God. And creation, and the angels sinning, and the flood, and Sodom and Gomorrah, he talked about the day of the Lord. Doesn't he talk about that? Yes or no? A future day, the day of the Lord is coming. And praise be to God, hallelujah. He talked about the new heavens and the new earth that are coming. And so this timetable of creation, flood, angels, Sodom and Gomorrah, of the incarnation of God that's mentioned in the text, the day of the Lord, the return of Jesus Christ, the new heavens and the new earth. There is still a God who's working his timetable without anything going on with Iran or anything else between now and then. And the people of God show up on a Sunday to read their Bibles and get stirred up again because we lose our sight, we lose our way, we get panicked, we get frustrated. What about the next election? Just in case you're wondering, America was not mentioned in this text of Scripture. I get a duck on that one. The 2028 election was not mentioned. Mr. Wilson, do you love America? Yes. Are you a patriot? Yes. I'm just telling you what. For the people of God that transcends all of history, this is the stuff that grounds us, not 2028 elections. And Peter says, get stirred up. I mean, that's what he says. So I'm not sure what is moving your heart and mind. I imagine in some biblical application, I could say, maybe some of you should get off the news and read your Bible more. You're saying there's anything wrong with watching the news? No. But if you find your heart and your mind losing sight of who your God is and what he's doing, maybe it might be worth thinking about that. Because there is a God who probably, as Peter wrote this, where is the promise of his coming? And the Jesus who fulfilled like 36 prophetic prophecies on one Jewish weekend 2,000 years ago will be the same Jesus that splits the Mount of Olives when he puts his feet down, when he comes to reign. And our faith is in that God. And Peter says, I want to stir you up to that. This is going to have to be a part two. You guys okay with that? You want me to keep preaching? I'm like, I don't know how to answer that. Don't worry, I've sat where you sat. You want me to be done preaching, I know. Tonight, we're going to talk about God's heartbeat. It's found in verse 9. And then we're going to talk about God's expectation for his people in verse 11. And once again, as the people of God are stirred up to focus on biblical things, these are the things that really ground us deep so that we have a good testimony for the Lord. We stay focused, we stay faithful, we stay serving, and all those things that Peter wants us to do. And so as we leave church today, just remember that there is a God in heaven who's the creator, flood, angels, coming again, God, who is still the God in charge. And as a church family, I want to let you know that he is still the Lord of the church and knows that you have a need for a pastor too. Come on. And with hearts of faith, you pray, you seek, and in God's impeccable timing, he'll meet that need for you as well. Don't we serve a great God? Go ahead and stand to your feet. Brother Andrew's going to come. Conclude our service as he sees fit. I'm going to have a word of prayer. If the Lord has certainly spoken to your heart today and reminded you of truth, I encourage you to respond to him, be faithful to him, and just be obedient to what God has for you. In the quietness of the moment, I'm going to ask Andrew to come, and he'll conclude the service here this morning. Thanks, Brother Andrew.